Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by Harry's, for guys who want a great shave experience for a fraction of what you're paying now. Go to harrys.com/hamnation to get $5 off your first order. By ICOM. For more information, visit icomamerica.com/hamnation. And by DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. In-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday, until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit dxengineering.com/hamnation.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 253 for June 22nd, 2016. Field Day Preparation.
Hello, everybody. Yep, it's me, K9EID, and you're tuned to Ham Nation, a program all about the fun we have in amateur radio as far as all the other stuff that we do, like help save lives and all that good stuff. And we have a great cast tonight. We have a couple of guest hosts, so we're going to get right to it because there's lots of going on here. First of all, Gordo's got some stuff. I tell you what, Gordo, you have to go to a meeting. Why don't you do your thing and then kick it back to me? And that way we'll get things going and introduce everybody after that. So do your thing and then ship her back to me, okay?
Roger that, Bob, and welcome everyone to our show before field day. Not beside, but before field day. And Brian, if you want to go ahead and roll the roll first, this is CPAC, the Seaside Convention up in Oregon. Delvin N7QMT was the CPAC seminar chairman. And this workshop was building a special, well, let me tell you about it. It's a kit of all kits. But first, thanks to Kurt, WR5J, Tom N7OEP, Rick, KG7JBV, and Bill, KS7, Bravo, Bravo. This is a do-it-yourself QRP 40-meter transceiver workshop conducted up at CPAC on that Friday before the HamFest began. 35 hams and a lot of kids took part. Here's the big deal. The crystal supplied with the kit was specifically ordered and supplied on the W1AW ARRL 40-meter bulletin frequency that they're going to use this weekend, 7.0475, for the field day bulletin. So if you want that bulletin station reception, take a look and see what it takes to build one of these great gears. And, of course, CPAC had a lot of great prizes, and everybody was quite happy building these kits. And the next shot will give you the turn-on for kids, especially when it works. And they use their thumb to send CW, which is a great idea. Next shot, Brian, and that's me. So let's take a look and see what field day is going to be just like this weekend with great band conditions, I predict, on 6 and 10 meters. For all you technician class operators. So, Brian, let's go for the short shots. Field day comes once a year, and wherever you are, grab a radio and get on the air. Now, you can go ahead and put your antenna together down on the hot deck, but this is going to break your butt and bust your rear. Make sure that for field day, you've got all your elements cleaned up and well marked, so you don't have to figure that out in the sun. Oh, man, this is a great job for kids. They can take the pressure, but here's an easier way to do it. Everybody, bring a couple of sawhorses and do your antennas on the sawhorse. Now you don't have to rest your butt on the cement. That's the Orange County Amateur Radio Club, and they know how to do it right, and they got their field day station up in a hurry. Make sure you have the right tools, the right nut drivers. Make sure if they're hollow that they're going to accept the shaft going in them. And look at that. Wild Bill's got his protective lenses on. Bill Rose, field day guy. Any sharp ties hanging out, make sure you clip them off and clip them off close. so they can still bite the skin if you don't. Before you put up the antenna, watch out for wires. It's the top two that'll ring your bell. All right, we've checked for wires. We've got it on the Gordo special mount, and up goes our 6-meter beam. If the band is anywhere open, you will hear NOA, and we'll be beaming to the east. Now, if you're going to be doing any kind of tower work, make sure you have the proper fall protection on and the right tools and glasses. Get it all set up there. This is a scary shot. I see no fall prevention. I see everybody standing back. So when he hits the ground at 64 feet per second, he'll only bounce a couple of times. But this is sort of one way to do it. I don't believe it's going to pass OSHA. Orange County Amateur Radio Club. Wow. They know how to do it. Professional towers and spaced in certain areas so that none of the interference will bleed from one station over to the other. And make sure your guy wires are nice and tight, because you never know what the weather is going to be. Maybe a little wind. Be prepared for that. Or you never know. And dress your cables carefully. Something like this, obvious to see in the day, but the next morning, someone encountered the cable at night. So watch out for trip hazards. My safety talk for field day. SPF 50 or higher, make sure you've got good sun protection or this nice easy up. And if it's going to rain, be sure you brought your protective plastic. Unbelievable field day at Catalina Island with a real rainstorm. But yet we stayed on the air. Well, he stayed on the air. For satellite operation, we've got some good passes, and we hope that you'll demo satellite for another 100 points. But again, anytime you're swinging that antenna, watch out for kids. Watch out for eyeballs. Be careful with any sharp antennas during your field day. And for those of you up on 10,000 megahertz, where we'll be in Southern California, post your signs and make sure that where you aim the dish, no one can stand in front. Well, we're only running a couple of watts, but still, ANSI says be safe. And if you're going to run some gas into the helium gas into that 160-meter balloon to carry up your 300-foot wire, do so, but make sure that that canister is well contained and that it won't fall down and shoot off like a rocket. Now, headsets, certainly. Bob Heil's got a gazillion different types of headsets. This is the big one. This is good on any radio as long as you have a monitor function to hear your own voice coming back. The smaller headsets are good, but with all headsets, no matter whose, you got to have that professional windsock. Here is a non-professional windsock. Well, look who's operating. There you go. But it worked because now they can hear you clearly without wind noise. And for field day that are not looking to make contest points and win the contest, open audio. This way everybody that comes up to see what's going on can get a listen to what's happening over your speaker. Get those kids involved this field day at the GOTA station. You'd be surprised. Kids really pick it up quick. And thanks to the Oregon team and Bill KL7BB letting us know that a lot of kids will be tuned in to 70475 for the ARRL bulletin with kits that they built at CPAC. Wow, that was great. So kids are good. Bandpass filters, DX Engineering has all styles of bandpass filters. Put that in line, and that way you're not going to get swamped by another transmitter on an alternate band. But these are not magic. If you get two folks on the same band, even spread out, you're cooked, unless those antennas are way far apart. And if you're doing any type of digital work, which we sure encourage for field day, make sure you clamp on these ferrite chokes to keep stuff out of the computer. And be safe around Honda generators or any kind of generators. This one's asking for trouble right underneath one of the field day stations. Fumes plus the noise that comes out of them that is broadband. But watch out for the fumes. So go fume free. Go solar. Solar is quiet. Solar does not create any noise by the panel itself. Have a good monitor to see how much current is pulled and what your voltage are. We're using the biennial batteries that are lithium iron phosphate, and we're always going to see higher than 13.3 volts. These are great little meters. They work well inside, but out in the bright sunlight, you may want to think more of an analog meter. And noise from your solar panel, here's where it occurs, is when that panel fills up the battery and the battery is full, this automatic charger goes into the pulse noise, and when it pulses, you hear it from 160 to 10 meters. So use your batteries up, and that way it'll run full bore and no pulsing. And a good little digital meter, even a cheap one, is going to work well for field day. So for field day, make sure you got your signs up so everybody knows you're there. Have a greeter to greet folks. This is our MESAC field day, City of Costa Mesa, and this is what it's going to look like in about two more days, plus a whole bunch of wire antennas. And if you've got a CERT team that serves your community, get them involved as well, because they'll be great to entertain those that are coming in wanting more information about emergency comms. So field day, get it set up safely on Friday. And on Friday evening, you can sort of relax and have a great time and get ready for the big day that following Saturday. So out here in Southern California, we're waving at the rest of you to our east, including Hawaii to our west. And we are ready for field day and have a little bit of fun. Go digital with the ASCII that we have here developed. And have some fun just before the big Hamvention field day comes off. And above all, ham it up. So back to you, Brian. And again, you got your hat. You got your hard hat. You got your safety harness, fall prevention. You got your SPF 50. Most important, working around beams. Make sure you have your glasses on. And have fun. And we'll work you on field day. So, Bob, back to you. And I'm off to our field day meeting.
Well, Gordo, good luck on all of your events, both tonight, teaching everybody, and of course for field day. That's great. I hope to work you. We'll be around, and if 6 meters opens, we'll look for you. So we'll let you go early. We kind of move things around there so we could do that. Let's see y'all's here before we get into the real meat and potatoes of Ham Nation tonight. Don, how are you doing? Everything okay?
I'm awesome, Bob. I've got my eye protection, I've got my sun protection, and I've got my bug repellent, and I'm ready for field day.
All right. It looks like it. Okay. Got to do those things. George, how you doing? You everything okay? Got your soldering iron ready?
Actually, Bob, we don't have George on at the moment. We've got...
Oh, George isn't there with us. Okay.
Not quite
well, what
yet.
We want to do, we want to go say hi to... one of our new co-hosts here. Hope that he gets to join us more often, and that's Bob K6UDA. Bob, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. God, you know, this is incredible. Live TV is incredibly big. I'm used to this
that's
tiny
right.
little space.
Well, here, we're going to come back to you in a
while.
We're going to come back to you in a while, and. Catch up here on one of your videos. You do a lot of things, and we're going to turn some people on to some of the things you do. But for now, I want to turn you on to a couple of happenings. First of all, this happens every year. I've been calling in for years. We've had the folks on several times on the show this year, and that's our friends Ted Randall and his family down in Nashville. You know, they own and operate three shortwave transmitters at WTWW. And the interesting part about that is it's 150 kilowatt, just a little bit less than the power that Gordo runs. I can pick on him because he left. But anyway, I want all of you to pay attention, get your pencils out, and write all this down because you're going to do this. What they do is they go around the country and talk to different Hamfest field day operations. And it's really a lot of fun because you guys, you get to be on 150 kilowatt. And they're going to take off Saturday from 4 to 7 on 9930. That's 9.930 megs. And this is AM now. This is shortwave. And then from 7 to 9, they switch down in frequency to 5.085. And They also have a phone number where you can call in and talk to all the listeners. It's really fun. And there's the phone number. It's 615-813-0173. And it'll be back on the replay if you need it. But it's really fun. And they'll be giving away prizes. I think they even have some microphones or headsets to give away. I mean, it's really a fun time. And you get to hear different operations, not only just in the States, but around the globe, because the shortwave is a big deal. So join Ted and all of his family on the shortwave frequencies. I get a kick out of calling in every year and hearing what's going on around the globe. So we're going to move on here. And I must say, I'm happy 6 meters has been open a lot. That's been a lot of fun. So we hope it continues. It would really be nice to have 6 meters open for field day. That would just be great. So we're gonna move down to Don. He's got a word about something to do about your razor, but then he's got Newsline. So Don, take her away.
That's right. Episode of Ham Nation brought to you by Harry's. You know, I got to tell you, it's kind of funny. Of all the things that I open my mouth about and stuff spews out on this program, the most feedback I get, by far, anything, whether it's advertisers or something about the show, it's always something about Harry's. And it's always something positive. It's the strangest thing. People will email me and they'll say, hey, I hear you talking about the Harry's thing, and it's great, and I ordered it, and it's fabulous. It's just as good as you said it, as you say it is. It's the oddest thing. Seriously, the most feedback I get is about Harry's. And there's a reason. I make it sound fun because it is. Now, shaving isn't fun. Nobody really likes to shave. It's why primarily I use an electric. It's just a chore. I want to get it done and over with as fast as I possibly can. But there are times, like if we're going someplace special, or if I get up like on a Sunday morning or something and I just want to pamper myself, I'll break out the Harry's stuff because it's good and it makes my face feel great. And I'll tell you something. My wife likes the way my face feels as well. So guys, if you're going to order a Harry's razor, just do yourself a favor and order two, because once your wife feels how smooth your face is, she's going to steal that razor of yours. So you may as well just buy two and be done with it. Harry's is a high-quality, high-performance razor system. They use German blades crafted by shaving experts. They feel really good. It's a hinged blade. It contours to your face. It has an aloe lubricating strip. Literally, it's the best shave I've had ever. And Harry's, it's factory direct. The blades are about half of what you pay in the store for leading brands, and they ship right to your doorstep, so you don't have to deal with the lines at the drugstore. Wait for somebody to unlock the shaver safe. You know, the big plexiglass counter? Oh, it's such a pain. Get started with Harry's. Could not be easier. Over a million guys and probably half a million gals or so have made the switch to Harry's. It's easy. The web line is streamlined. It's easy to use. It takes literally less than 30 seconds to place an order. Now, you can place an order literally in four taps with their iOS app. You can get Harry's on your iDevice. Four taps and you're done. And the customer service experience is just above everything. I've had the Winston set for a while. I have the Truman set too. And what comes inside, you get a handle with a great look and feel, extra razor blade, shave cream, or the foaming shave gel. Smells great. Everything looks great because it is great. The best part, it only costs about half as much as other razor brands. And they have a non-greasy, lightweight, daily face lotion with SPF 15 for hydrating and protection. And they have this face wash. It's a scrub. It smells great. It's got a real light, like a pumice in it that kind of, you know, I don't know. It's really good. I love it. It makes your face feel great. Everything is shipped right to your door. So why pay $32 for an 8-pack of blades when you can get them for half price at harrys.com? Order the starter set. That is the Truman. It's a great option for new customers, and it's an amazing deal. For $15, you get a razor handle, moisturizing shave cream, and three of Harry's five-blade German-engineered razors. And there's a special offer for fans of Ham Nation. Harry's will give you $5 off the first purchase when you order at harrys.com/hamnation. harrys.com/hamnation. I'm telling you, go ahead and order two, because your funny honey's going to want one. Mine loves hers. Stop compromising. Give Harry's a try today. You'll be a Harry's man, and your wife will love you for it. In fact, she'll be a Harry's lady, and you'll love her for that. Harry's, we thank you so much for your support of Ham Nation. No, it has nothing to do with radios, but you know what? You feel good. You look good. You are good. And that's what it's all about. Let's check out the news of the week from Amateur Radio Newsline, shall we? From Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 2016, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, June 22nd, 2016. Well-known de-expeditioner NDXer Milt Jensen, N5IA of Verdon, New Mexico, died June 9th after falling from a ham radio tower. Newsline's Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, spoke with Jensen's wife, Ruline, KB5VTM.
He was just an avid de-exer contest person. If we got in the car, he was on the radio all the time. He loved the challenge of building a better antenna system.
Newsline reached out to Milt Jensen's wife, Ruline, KB5VTM, who shared some of her memories of Milt's de-expeditions.
He went to Myanmar twice. He loved it. He and Robin Pritchell were there to do the 160 part. That was his main joy. Other than Myanmar, he went to Ducey Island with an international group, and I got on his Facebook the last couple of days, and they've all responded to it from Germany, Lithuania, and I don't remember what other countries.
Milt worked for a power utility and learned climbing safety from them.
He was trained in all the safety stuff. He always did tie off, have your gear on. So it wasn't that he was careless about climbing.
On June 9th, Milt was in Tucson to help a fellow ham.
The tower he was working on was for a friend, a fellow ham that lived in Tucson that doesn't climb. And so he went to do whatever tower work it was that needed to be done on his tower for him. My husband had told our oldest son, sometimes his hand went to sleep and he couldn't hang on. And so we're thinking that that's what it was because he stressed safety. If that was the case, I'm going to slap him when I get up to heaven.
Milt Jensen, K5IA, was 73 years old. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
Our thoughts and prayers go out to all who knew Milt. Amateur Radio Newsline urges everyone to please adhere to strict safety practices when doing any tower work. One New York ham's devotion to watching severe weather systems has won him special recognition.
Dave Robinson, N4UAR of Oswego County, New York, isn't exactly a fair weather friend. He's a trained weather spotter in the Skywarn program of the National Weather Service and a member of the county's Radio Amateur Civil Emergency Services. More recently, Dave became an emergency communications honoree, receiving this year's RACI Service Award for his work in Central New York. That work has not just garnered him honors, it has also kept him busy and made him a leader during drills as well as real weather emergencies. Dave was praised at a recent RACI's meeting by Radio Officer Fred Koch, KA2HPG. Fred said, "Dave is one of the first to show up for RACI's work details. He is a quiet individual who is invaluable to the group as a leader and a mentor." For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Heather MB, KB3TZD.
Of course, there are emergency situations of all kinds, and regardless of the situation or location, amateur radio is there.
The story of the 2015 Nepal earthquake is a story worth telling again and again, not just because it's important to remember the horror of that April day, but to learn from the response by radio amateurs who stepped in. That was the narrative that one of the amateurs from Kathmandu shared earlier this month on a visit to Santa Clara, California. Sanjeev Pandey, 9N1SP, made his presentation to an audience of about 100, comprising Santa Clara firefighters, Aries and RACI's members, bayonet participants, and others in that city. Pandey's visit was arranged to help in fine-tuning earthquake response in this California region, especially since the Kathmandu Valley, where the April 2015 quake occurred, has a pattern of fault lines similar to those beneath this Silicon Valley city. Pandey told his listeners, quote, "The Nepali people have gone through a tremendous ordeal. If our experience can help others in different parts of the world to better prepare for disasters, then this can be regarded as a positive outcome," end quote. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Skeeter Nash, N5ASH.
As always, these headline reports just scratch the surface. Please listen to the full weekly Amateur Radio Newsline reports for, as Paul Harvey was fond of saying, the rest of the story. And another reminder that the nominating period for the Bill Pasternak Young Ham of the Year Award is drawing to a close at midnight June 30th. More information and the nominating form can be found on the Newsline website under the YHOTY tab. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for over 38 years and counting at www.arnewsline.org. with Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, Heather Emby, KB3TZD, Skeeter Nash, N5ASH, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. And I'm proud to announce that we've had several nominations come in for the Bill Pasternak Young Ham of the Year. So we're starting to get those trickling in now. And remember, the nominating period closes on June 30th at midnight. So you just have, about a week left. So get them in if you've got a deserving young radio amateur you'd like to have honored in a really cool way. It's a lot of fun. We award that at the Huntsville Ham Fest. It's coming up the third weekend of August. Third weekend of August. It's always exactly 3 months after the Dayton Hamvention. We don't have Dr. Tamitha Scove tonight, but she did tweet in a couple of hours ago, actually, maybe about 3 hours ago now, a weather forecast. So pull this off of Twitter. She says there at the bottom, if you can zoom in on that, I don't have my old man glasses, expecting, there we go, series of solar storms hits the Earth, field momentum are momentarily north, so a little aurora now, but ham radio improves just in time for field day. So that's some good news. And the reason that Dr. T is not on tonight is she got in a bit of a fender bender earlier today driving to work. She was T-boned. Now, she's fine. The car is damaged. It's not totaled, but it's damaged. So she's been fooling with that all day, so she did not have time to prepare a video for us today because, well, you know, life gets in the way. So if you follow her on Twitter, at Tamitha Scove, send her a little Twitter encouragement. And be sure to check her out at spaceweather.tv. She's a great person, does great stuff for us, and just a lovely lady. And her family is just amazing as well. So, Dr. T, we're big thumbs up. We're thinking about you. All right. Now, let's see what's going on with the fine folks at ICOM.
Calling all stations.
The most popular on-air event is here. Field Day, June 25th and 26th. Make sure your ICOM equipment is ready for action.
Limited space, no problem.
The IC7100 base station is a great compact D-Star option. Angled control head and touchscreen for quick intuitive operation, large internal speaker for clear digital audio, and it's perfect for multi-bands and all-mode communications.
Be one of the first to experience
how ICOM is changing the way receivers are being designed with ICOM's new IC7300. It will exceed expectations. RF direct sampling, 15 discrete bandpass filters, large 4.3-inch color touchscreen, real-time spectrum scope, and SD memory card slot.
The sky's no limit.
With IC9100, the versatile all-around transceiver, multi-band, multi-mode, independent dual receivers, satellite mode operation, optional D-Star DV mode with the UT-121, and USB connector for PC control. Visit ICOMAmerica.com/amateur for more information on ICOM's radios. To win after each episode of Ham Nation, go to ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation. Register to win for some great swag prizes like T-shirts and hats. And while you're there, learn how you can be registered for the monthly grand prize drawing, which is always a radio. And for June, it's going to be the ICOM ID5100 dual band, dual watch, VHF, UHF transceiver. It's got touchscreen, analog, and D-Star. It's got a Don Wilbanks attached to it, internal GPS, DV, FM repeater list function, available Bluetooth unit and headset, Android application, and a lot more. So go to ICOMAmerica.com/amateur after this and each episode of Ham Nation and register to win. That's ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation. And now let's get Bob back. Bob, we've got a new guest with us this week, huh?
We do, and I want to bring him on in just a second. But before I do that, I think Brian has a picture of this room 5 or 6 years ago. It's where Ham Nation actually started. Let's see, Brian, did I get that up? There you go. You can see that door in the back of me there. That's the door you see. There's nothing in this room. All of that, well, the console didn't have built new consoles, but that's all down in Missouri. So I just thought you'd kind of get a little aspect because some of you are asking me, what's in that room? There's nothing in this room. Sarah has not done anything with it other than a small desk for me to do my work when I'm up in Illinois, if I'm not out at the plant. But I just thought that would be fun. Well, I met Bob some time ago, K6UDA. He has a lot of videos, and they're really fun. He has a fun time with amateur radio, showing us different things. He did a shootout with our headset, the Pro 7, and I'm happy to say that it blew everybody else away. So, likely so. But Bob's got some really fun things, and we'll go join him on some of those after the show. You want to go look at some of that? Bob, welcome to Ham Nation. I'm sure glad you're with us and making it happen, buddy. Yeah.
Thank you, Bob.
Cool. Where are you?
I don't think my voice is working here.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to have to come back to me.
We got it. We got it. We got it. Well, what we're going to do is play that video. So let's take off right now with this great video. And it's a wonderful thing for field day. Check this out that Bob did.
Just enough light to operate in the dark spaces of ham radio. You can use it at field day. You could throw one of these things in an emergency pack. It works with this touch screen on the back, and it is very, very cool. It's got a 1-watt LED array of light. It's not sealed, but it feels pretty damn indestructible to me. Bill Harrison over at Hardin Power Systems is really on the cutting edge of doing the 3D printing. And so all the cases for these things are 3D printed. I have no clue how he sealed this thing up, but man, it is tight. It isn't coming apart. And I don't know how they got everything to work inside. The fit and finish is very nice. It's not smoothed out like something you'd see from a stamped piece of plastic. It's obviously 3D printed, but it does look very, very cool for what it is. And what this thing is a very, very bright and very cool little LED light that plugs into any USB power supply. And that's really what I like. So let's plug it in to a power supply here. I got my handy dandy little USB extender or adapter there. The cool thing is these things will go in either direction, so it doesn't matter what direction you want to face it. And look at that, man, that thing just blinds you. So anyway, this little guy is infinitely adjustable, and you just put your finger on the back, it'll either go up or down, or you could tap it and turn it off. Pretty cool. It works great. And here I'm going to put a couple of little props in just to show you how the exposure is and what it really looks like. And that is my new, it's an EDC top by Billet Spin. Those are a lot of fun and it keeps me occupied. Anyway, off, and we'll turn it on here. And that's at a low setting. So, you know, and then you could turn it up, turn it down, move it all around here, and get just the right amount of light on your subject. To power this little guy up in the field, I've also seen this little nano USB converter. Converts power pole, Anderson power poles, to a standard USB. It's 3 amps. And another little deal here from Hardin Power Systems. Again, it's a 3D printed body. And I have no idea how they packed the guts of this thing in there. But it also comes with an LED that tells you, or a light that tells you, that it's on and ready to go when it's plugged in. Again, the nano LED can plug in either direction. The nano USB, you only want to plug that in one direction. So here, we're going to test it out. This would be a real-world kind of a scenario. You've got your PowerWorks power supply there and a tuner, and you want to write your log. It's nighttime now. It's field day. And how are you going to do that? Well, let's put the nano LED into the socket there, and now it's on, and we can just press it, turn it on, and there you go. You've got a nice work light, and it's infinitely dimmable. When you bring it down to the lowest power setting, it's still very, very useful, but it won't ruin your night vision, which is really important in an MCOM situation. Hey, these things are ultra, ultra cheap. At $22 for a two-pack of the lights, $20 for the nano USB. You know what? I would order these things for everybody on my Christmas list this year, and be done with Christmas, and give people a nice useful gift, or keep a whole bunch for yourself. Anyway, you can get them from Hardin Power Systems, and I'll put their website in the link.
That was great. I can see a lot of uses for that during field day and lots of other things. And the cool thing is that it's powered from the USB, so you don't have to have other power supplies if you don't have one handy, or plug it in your phone.
It is, and I'm giving some of these things away right now on the channel. So you guys that are watching this, go watch some of my videos. I'll tell you how to get some.
Yeah, that's great. Well, Bob, I appreciate that. And one thing I really appreciate is that shootout thing. I think we've got a lower third that the guys can go see this. That was amazing, and I know it took you a long time to do it all, but there's all of your videos, so check out that shootout he did. It took a lot of time, but the old Pro 7 blew it all away. So we appreciate it very, very much. To have you here and all the things you do for Ham Radio. We'll have you back doing some other things, Robert. So
hey,
appreciate it very, very much.
You,
and we'll catch you on the air somewhere, a little high, a little low, but we'll catch you, right?
Oh, yeah. Hey, we're doing a QRP field day from up in the High Sierras. So everybody call for W6EK this field day. We want to answer you, and we're going to go for big points here on QRP.
Okay, that's great. That's great. 6EK, gotcha. Well, thank you very, very much, and we'll see you next time. We'll get some things going for you. So we're going to take things and move them down to George and see what's going on in your world. George, how's the soldering business? You doing okay?
I'm doing pretty well, Bob. Soldering business has been steady. I had a lot of transmitter problems last week and have survived most of those. I'm not going to say none of them will be back because, that just kind of comes around. But I'm hoping things will hold off through this weekend, because look what I've got here. Three of the IC7300s that we're going to be using for field day this year. So that is going to be fun to get those out there. And as a matter of fact, right now I'm installing software on my laptop so I can run digital modes with the one I'll be operating. But Tommy will be there too, and our buddy Wayne, KG5RE, will be with us. It's the Amateur Logic crew. We'll be operating as W5JDX this year. So look around the bands, and if you find us, give us a contact. We need all the points we can get, because we never have enough. But we've regrouped this year, And we think maybe we'll have things set up and ready to go by 1 p.m. Central, which has never happened before, but maybe we can pull that off this week. Well, we're going to get, in just a few moments here, our friend John Porchin, W6NBC, in. But first, I want to bring Don back on here because he had a hold of a radio I was trying to give away a while ago, but I know he knows where you can get one of those and a lot of other stuff.
I do, as a matter of fact. And before we get into that, to talk about DX Engineering, Bob was talking about Hardened Power. And if you've never heard of that company, they do some cool 3D printing. And this is the Hardened Power D-Star Mini Mega. Check this out. This is, yep. You can see that I'm running 12 volts into it. This is my D-Star hotspot. It's running a Raspberry Pi with a DV Mega board, and it's on right now. You can see my lights are blinding it out. But anyway, it's got it plugged into 12 volts. There's a spot for, 18650 batteries, I think. They're in the top, four of them. And sweet little thing. Hardened Power Systems is good stuff. So you need to check them out. I don't have my glasses on, but Hardened Power Systems, just Google them. Digital Ham Access Point, the Mini Mega. This is cool. Good company. So let's talk about DX Engineering because, well, that's what, you know, it's what they want us to talk about. It's thunderstorm season. We have had a good bit of rain down here. And in fact, we've had some pretty serious lightning down here as well. We were driving home one night, my wife and I, and I got on the horn. I told my son, I said, go in to my office, unplug my Xbox, unplug your Xbox, and don't fool with the radios yet because he didn't know how to do it. I said, when I get home, I'm going to teach you how to unplug my antennas. But if like me last year, you know, I got hit by lightning, I wasn't here, so I couldn't unplug. If you're away and it's thunderstorm season, you don't want to get a hit. We don't get hit any time, but DX Engineering can help make sure that you're ready when there is lightning in the air, even if you don't have time to unplug anything. They have a wide range of lightning protection and grounding solutions for your shack and antenna setups, but it's not just about lightning. A proper single point ground system is critical safety element, and it can alleviate audio hum and RFI issues. And a good grounding system starts with a copper ground bus wall mount from DX Engineering. It's a heavy 13-gauge solid copper mount that easily withstands the weight of long cable runs. It can hold up to four of the coax surge protectors from Alpha Delta or Polyphaser. And it's durable enough that you can mount it indoors or out. The bar comes with an assortment of terminal lugs and mounting hardware to make securing your surge protectors and grounding straps a snap. You can also get copper bonded ground rods. Try to say that three or four times fast. From Errico. They have a wide array of grounding solutions from Errico there at DX Engineering. These rods are 99.9% pure electrolytic copper coated, and they're available in multiple ODs and lengths. The cores are made from high carbon steel, which means they will not bend or distort when you're driving them into the ground. Errico also makes a great assortment of clamps to secure all your straps that you need to ground together. And then to tie all those outdoor grounds together, Georgia copper flexible grounding straps will help you out. They're solid and bendable metal straps that come in a variety of widths and lengths. These straps ensure near zero voltage differential, which gives you a uniform path to ground. They have a wide range of Georgia copper strap widths, thicknesses, and lengths at DX Engineering. And if you're doing custom cables, don't forget the free online custom cable builder at dxengineering.com. You can build custom copper ground braid straps as well as coax cables to connect your power supply, tuner, amplifier, any other ham radio equipment to your indoor ground point. Just select the braid you'd like and its length. Choose the corresponding ring terminal size, and DX Engineering does the rest. And they ship it off to you in just a few days. It's quick, easy, and it's free. You just pay for the braid and the terminals your assembly requires. The app to do it online, completely free. DX Engineering ships faster than anybody else in the industry. If you get your order in by 10 p.m. Eastern, if it's in stock, it'll be on a truck headed your way tonight. And they are particularly happy because, of course, the Cleveland Cavaliers won the NBA Finals and are the world champs in the basketball. And of course, they're up there in the Akron, Ohio area, so they're just a few miles south of Cleveland there. They're happy as clams. And in fact, most orders over $99 are eligible for free standard shipping. Has nothing to do with basketball, but they're just happy that way. Proven products, expert advice. DX Engineering helps you shrink the globe. Request your catalog, and here's the latest one right here. Request it online or shop online 24/7, 365 at dxengineering.com. And dxengineering.com/hamnation, that's where you want to go. We thank DX Engineering for their support of Ham Nation. They're good folks. They ship fast. They know what they're talking about. And you're going to love them. George, you're going to love them.
I am going to love them, Don. And you can get one of these there. I think they've got these IC7300s back in stock now. Of course.
If you call them up and ask them how many they have, and if they say we have 47 of them, you can buy all 47 if you want. They won't mind.
And you better do it quick, because there won't be 47 there tomorrow.
Oh, there won't. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, let's get right now John Portune in here with us and see what kind of crazy antenna stuff he's talking about this week.
I can't wait.
John, what have you got going?
Well, hello, everybody. Nothing crazy tonight. Something very, very simple and elementary. Yet it's an antenna that I'm sure all of you have used. All of you have done this, and all of you have probably had the same question that I had about it. And it's an antenna you probably would use field day. So it's relative. So let me move over to my PowerPoint presentation here, and we'll get started on it. All right, here we are. As you can see, I'm calling this presentation The Cookie Can Kludge. Interesting title, but I know it's an antenna all of you have played with, and there's some interesting facts that you might enjoy here. Certainly might be done at field day even. So how many of you have ever done this? Taken a 19-inch magnetic 2-meter whip and stuck it on top of a metal object because you needed a temporary portable antenna. Here it is atop a little old two-meter rig. But you know, and I've done this too. I've needed to do this quickly. But I've always wondered, is this a big compromise? I mean, is this Mickey Mouse a big kludge? Because, you know, and I think a lot of hams are this way. They've felt if you're going to put one of these 19-inch mag mounts on a metal object, that metal object better be a ground plane that's at least half a wavelength in diameter. That's 38 inches on 2 meters. Otherwise, the antenna might get out. Of course, almost anything will get out. But how well does it get out? And this is a question I know a lot of people had. I'll tell you where it came from and why I'm even talking about this. Here's my very good friend, Ernie Sloan, W6ND. Ernie's great at Oklahoma Engineering. And here's one of his masterpieces. He came walking in one day with this lovely little cookie can that he'd gotten for Christmas. It had some nice shortbreads or something in it. And he'd put a little banana jack in the middle of it and stuck a 19-inch spike on top of it. The cookie can is 7.5 inches in diameter. I took one look at it and I said to him, Ernie, that'll never work. The ground plane's too small. It can't possibly work. It needs to be at least 38 inches in diameter. That thing isn't going to work at all. Well, Ernie doesn't care much for theory, but he's a great practical designer. Well, guess what I had to eat from telling him that? There it is on the left. In fact, we got a bunch of them. It's right outside my house here. I did an Easy Neck study. I love Easy Neck. I decided to do an Easy Neck study of putting whips, short UHF or UHF whips, you could do it with UHF too, but short VHF whips on various coffee cans or tins or little boxes or anything like that. How efficient is that antenna going to be? Is it a kludge? So I decided to study it with EasyNeck. I love it. Well, what I discovered is that if you've got any small ground plane, there actually is an efficient whip length. But it's rarely 19 inches, and that's the whole key to it. On a small ground plane, you need a different size whip. Here is the graph that came out of EasyNeck. That red line there was done for many, many runs in EasyNeck, and I actually modeled how long a whip do you need? That's the length on the left between 40 and 15 inches in this graph. How long a whip do you need on cans of circular cans on various diameters, from zero length to 40 inches in diameter. Well, there's Ernie's can right there. I can turn the little laser pointer on here. Here's Ernie's can right here. And as you can see, for a 7.5-inch can, he didn't need a 19-inch whip. He needed a 23.7-inch whip, not 19. And that rather amazed him, so he went back and redid it, and it worked a lot better. Actually, the basics is a very basic, simple principle if you think about it. If you start on the right with a 19-inch whip, you've got to put it on a 38-inch ground plate if you want it to be efficient, want it to match correctly. If you put it on a 24-inch ground plane, all you need to do is stretch the whip to 20.3 inches, and it'll come back to resonance. Put it on a 12-inch ground plane, you can get it to come to resonance at 21.4 inches. There's Ernie's one over there, 7.5 inches in diameter. And as I said, he had to put a 23.7-inch whip. Once he did, his cookie can got out real well. But here's the interesting point. You don't need a ground plane at all. If you go to 38 inches, well, how come? Well, it's very simple. 38 inches is a dipole. A dipole doesn't need a ground plane to work. So the basic principle here that I'm talking about tonight, and this is some very simple elementary theory, no Möbius quads or anything like that. Any small metal object can be efficient if you have the right length whip. You don't always need a big ground plane, contrary to what a lot of hams think. Here's some practical examples that we did once we understood this. Ernie built this lovely tin cup over there. That piece of wire on top is longer than 19, and he wound a bit of a coil to shorten it up a bit more. And you can see the little ballon he made of coax. I bought that Tonka truck, that old metal Tonka truck, at an antique store. Paid a good price for it, by the way. And I found I could make it into a nice little antenna and sits up on the shelf, nice decorative, but it doesn't have a 19-inch whip on it. It's longer than 19. On the right is a Larson magnetic mount sitting on top of a common 1-pound coffee can. And again, the whip is longer than 19 inches, but it's resonant and it's efficient. And there's the picture we opened with there, the same Larson magnetic mount sitting on top of a little 2-meter radio. Well, how do you find the right length? Well, it's really very, very simple. You just get out your MFJ analyzer or any other analyzer you've got, hook it to the thing, and start changing the length of the whip until you get a low SWR. It's just that simple. But you say, does that really prove out in field tests? Oh, yeah, it really does. I did 3 quantitative field tests. I set up a calibrated receiver 200 yards away, and I did 3 tests. 19-inch spike on the coffee can there is the one you can see right there, but I put radials on it, so it would be efficient. It had 4 19-inch radials on a 19-inch spike. I took a field strength reading. Then I took the radials off, and I lengthened the whip with my MFJ until it came to resonance, and with a 25-inch whip, took another field strength reading. Then I took all the radials off, put the original 19-inch spike on. The first 2 were the same, good radiation. But when I took and used just the 19-inch spike, 2.4 dB down, you know. So, yes, you can't put your magnetic mount on any old piece of metal, but you can if you want to stretch the whip a bit. Well, here's my practical, efficient use of it. I have it in the background here. I'll show it to you in a minute. It's a nice 12-inch cookie tin or biscuit can or whatever you want to call it. And I put a SO239 in it, got a slot in the side of it so the coax would come out, and I mounted a telescopic whip, 24-inch telescopic whip, on a PL239. Screws into the thing really well. Pull it out to 21.4 inches, and it's resonant. Then when I'm not using it, I take them all apart, stick it in the can, and away I go. It's a great little portable antenna. Some of you might have motorhomes, fiberglass bodies. What do you do? A lot of people fret this one. They think they got to put a bunch of metal up there or something. No, you don't. Put one of the cookie cans on top of it or a small ground plane. Just stretch the whip until it's tuned. Here's a practical HF solution that you might not thought about. I know a lot of people have done this sort of a thing, but you've all seen these wheel mounts where you drive up on it, it holds a mount for your antenna and flagpole. Well, you know, you can use the car as a counterpoise. Hook the shield of the coax to the car, hook the center conductor to the pole, and you can easily obtain yourself a resonant antenna that you don't need a tuner to tune with. Of course, if you want to use a tuner, that's fine too. Actually, Harbor Freight makes a lovely little telescopic flagpole that you can move up and down and tune very well. So the basic thing here is any small ground plane, small ground plane is sufficient. It doesn't have to be a kludge if the whip is longer than a quarter wavelength. So that's it, folks. If you want to read the article I wrote on it, you can go to my website, w6nbc.com.
Okay, John, good stuff. I'm going to have to give that a try myself. I don't have any cookies here right now to eat, but I'm sure I can come up with a piece of metal somewhere.
That's great. You know, we've had a lot of fun with it. Here's the actual cookie can antenna right here that I had with the whip all enlarged. I can push it down, take it off, put it inside the can, put the coax inside the can. Goes right off. I keep this in my motorhome so that I've got a portable antenna if I want to get out and talk sitting at the picnic table.
That's pretty neat. I've got a question, and I don't know if you modeled it or not, but what if you were talking about the counterpoise being smaller there, you would need a taller whip. What if the counterpoise was longer? Does that longer than it needed to be for resonance, would that equate to a shorter whip than usual for that frequency, or does it just not really matter if it's oversized?
If it's oversized, it'll pretty much stay resonant. It starts to become almost a real ground plane as the counterpoise. The impedance of the feed point will change a little, but that's easy enough to take care of. So oversize is not the same relationship as undersize.
Okay, well, that's good information to know. And I got one question for you before we go here. Are you doing anything for Field Day this year?
Well, my local club, the Satellite Amateur Radio Club, always does Field Day. We have a lovely site on Vandenberg Air Force Base that the Air Force has let us use now for 20 years, ever since we helped them put the first Oscar satellite into orbit. We have a nice site up there, and there's always a gathering up there. We do a casual field day, but we have lots of antennas and lots of portables come up, and people motorhome it. We have a big acre fenced-in site up there, which is a great place. It's a good field day site, high up on top of the mountains on the coast of California here.
Well, that's great. I hope y'all have a good time there. It's not always about the number of contacts you can make. It's a lot about the fellowship and just, you know, getting out and having some fun. We appreciate you being here again this week, and we'll be looking forward to something from you in the future here. Have you got anything on the drawing board right now?
Oh, yeah. I've got two or three things that I'd like to do. So almost any time you want to see me again, I'll be here.
All right. Well, thanks, John. 7-3, and have a great field day.
You too.
All right, I got something to give away here. You know, last week I asked a question. What year was the first ARRL field day? And, just about everybody who answered that one knew the answer. It's not that hard to find anymore with Google. So it's, according to John Hyatt, KC7DRI, 1933. And that's the same information I came up with, John. So congratulations. We'll be sending you a DX Engineering ceramic coffee mug. Good for keeping you awake during those late field day nights. So hope you enjoy that and appreciate you participating. We're going to give away something else for next week. And boy, this is something that would be nice to have right now. And I don't know if my wire will reach. There we go. It's a MFJ4422 DC voltmeter, ammeter. It's got power pole connectors on it. So you run your voltage in one side, hook your radio to the other side, gives you the voltage and the current both right there. Let you know how your rig is operating. These are great for portable installations. It'd be great for field day. I'm going to have to make me up a little jumper where I can plug this into my power supply, and I'll use it this weekend if I can come up with a jumper in time. But if you'd like to win that, well, just answer this, and there is no wrong answer for it. What are you going to do for field day? And you can even tell me nothing if you want to. Just send an email to hamnationcontest@gmail.com. And I'm going to give this away to somebody next week. So I believe that kind of covers all of our smoke and our solder for this week, Bob.
What a great thing that was. I guess I'll have to go collect my coffee cans and my cookie tins. I have a couple about that size, so who knows. But I do have to remind you that we really focus on that 5 o'clock dinner on Saturday. What about you, George?
Well, if we can make it by 5 o'clock, sometimes we're a little late, you know.
Well, that's only if 6 meters is open.
Oh, yeah.
And
yep.
It's been open
a lot. And I hope it is. I hope it is.
I hear you. Okay. Let's see where we're going from here. I lost my good old... there's where we're going. I'll tell you that for sure. Look at that. Amanda,
hi.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm getting ready for field day. Sorry for my little outburst a minute ago. Jeff just asked me, can I shut your computer down? Do you have anything open? And I said, no, I don't think so. Didn't realize my mic was hot. Boy, that'll teach me.
Well, it's good good to see you. Good to be back here this week, and we'll be here next week, I think. So let's see what's going on with you and Jeff and all of the chat room folks today.
Oh, boy, we have so much stuff to talk about. First of all, everyone's so thrilled and excited about field day. It's kind of like you have senioritis. You're just ready. You're ready for it, or you're not ready for it, but you know you're still going, so you still have to get ready for it. I think that's kind of where we are at this point in time. We still have a lot to prepare for here. Anyhow, a couple of things. Jerry K8VGL, he wants us to know to listen out for K1D, the kids station that will be active on field day from Florida. And that ought to be a fun one. Make sure you say hello to them and tell them what a good job they're doing, because you know there's going to be some newbies there on the air. And I do have a question. This is going to go for any of you guys really that want to take it, John, Bob, or George. In 2KOJ, Eric wants to know if there's any suggestions for a good apartment HF antenna. Bob, you want to start?
Looking for an antenna for an apartment?
Yes.
There's no end. What you have to do is just put something up and try it. I know several guys that have taken simple little 40-meter dipoles, put them up in the room if they can, and it doesn't have to be all straight. I can drop it down over here, over there, whatever. It depends. Again, you're not going to work on 160 meters, but I'd start out on 20 meters. 18 is really good these days. But just try something. Years ago, I took twin lead, the old twin lead from television, and made a dipole out of that. Kept it tied off the ends, fed it in the center, and worked great. And you just have to throw the books away and try something. That it is amateur radio. What do you say, George? That a good idea?
Yeah, I agree with you, Bob. Just try something. If you've got a balcony and, you know, you got a metal rail out there, well, you could be in luck there because you might actually be able to clamp something on there and screw your antenna in. If they don't allow that, well, you know, it'd be easy enough to get two to take down. I've had friends take two ham sticks. You can buy a mount, and I believe they call it a buddy pole, but it's basically just two threaded studs where you screw a ham stick in either end of it, and use it like a dipole. Hook coax to one of them and the shield, the center conductor to the other. Tune them out, and you know, there's been a lot of people use that. But it, like Bob said, anything that'll work, just try something. There's also one other thing that might be useful. You know, I've had a lot of people ask lately about I can't get on, you know, to a ground. I'm not on the bottom floor. I'm on the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth floor. You know, how can I ground this? Well, you can use something called an artificial ground. MFJ makes one. You might find some information on the internet on it. Basically, you're just throwing a radio out there on the floor, and you've got some tuning elements on it, and you're just making up for the difference in length there. So a lot of different things you can do, but number one, I would say experiment.
That's right. Oh, there you go, Amanda. That's our answers.
Okay, I'll take those answers. And Jeff and I did apartment living and running HF. When I first got on Ham Nation, we lived in a, like, what was it, Jeff? About 400 square feet on the second floor. And our landlords were pretty cool, though. They let us put a dipole up on the roof of the building, and we also had a vertical there as well. So, oh, yeah, and we ran an amp, too. And that kind of knocked out some people's TVs. Better not. You better check on that one, you guys. The next thing I had was I did have a question for John, but it looks like he already took off on us. So, Bob, I have kind of a cool story. I talked to HK3C this weekend. John and I had a wonderful rag chew. Now, he's a good friend of yours, isn't he?
That's right. Yes. And a great signal, huh? Big time.
Oh, my gosh. His signal is amazing. Now, he's in Colombia, you guys. I think he's American and obviously has moved down to Colombia. I don't know his background very well, but I imagine that any of you guys that have done any DX contests have heard this guy and have probably worked him. So, Bob, I just wanted to let you know he waxes poetic about you. That's for sure.
Well, he's always used our microphone elements, and it makes his voice sound terrific. And he's a Canadian, I believe, but he always has a great signal. And there's one answer to that last question you had there. You know, if you're in an apartment and you start messing everybody's television up, and they come down, they start beating on your door. You know what the answer is there, Amanda. You open the door and say, is that happening to you too?
That's funny. We did actually, this lady, she came knocking on our door and she said, I'm hearing a lady's voice come through my TV and all my screen is all scrambled and I know it's your fault. And it ended up, I don't think it was our fault. She had a TV from 1970 and it just stopped working. But anyhow, we did mess with the security cameras. So beware of that. You guys, that's all the questions I have for tonight. Just want to say I'm going to be doing field day as W0KEN. And I hope to work everybody out there this weekend. Bob, what are you doing for field day? Did you fill us in on that already?
I'll be with the Southwest Missouri Amateur Radio Club and the Nixa Missouri Club. But I also am going to be here. Don't forget this shortwave. This is really fun to get on. And you call them on the phone. There's all the information. Call him on the phone. And Ted and who knows, Holly, Dave, Aaron, all of them will be there, the whole family. But it's just really great because you don't know who is going to be listening, and you'll get to hear a lot of people call in and tell you what's going on. So I'll be out with all the Randalls on WTWW, 150,000 watt. They got three of them, and these guys are amazing. So that's one of the things I'll be doing in the Nixa and the Southwest Missouri. And you know what? I'll probably be back at home late night and work a few from the house. So that's what I got planned, Amanda.
That sounds like a fun time. And I'm just going to send out one more reminder. As some of your bonus points, there's NTS traffic messages. And those are 10 points apiece, and you can get up to 100 points. So you have 10 messages to send. If you guys don't know who to send them to, send them to us. Send them to your host here on Ham Nation. Let us know how your field day is going. We'd love to receive them, and I think it's great practice to learn how to send those NTS messages. So you guys have fun out there.
Well, they can send them on the Facebook page to you and Val and all of that,
right? That's right. post your pictures of Facebook onto our Facebook page of your field day as well. We'd love to see how it's going. Send us your blooper reels too. I think that would be pretty good, huh? Just don't send us anything that was too dangerous. We don't.
Yeah. Okay.
But have fun out there, you guys. Over to you, Bob.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Well, glad to be back. I don't know what happened here at the first. I guess ghosts in the old room got to us, but Brian and I figured it out. 7-3, everybody. We will see you on the air this weekend for Field Day, and I'll be listening for you on the big 150,000 water on Ted's WTWW and what else. But Hope 6 Meters opens. You'll find me there, 50.4 a.m., okay? 50.4 a.m. That's where you find me when 6 Meters opens. So there you go. We will talk to you again next week. I'll be back in the Ozarks in